Dan and Rand and Jay will share tales of folks so unaware they lack in grace and sometimes choose the life they choose will make the news. Breaking down each epic fail in Florida, there's half price bail. I'm happy to say they
couldn't make this up.
So listen to our podcast jam with co-host Arm and Dan. Bender, don't be a jerk. Cause when the music hits, the funny hits, and we are gonna take you down. Stick around. Make a sound, hunker down, it's Dumb People Town.
Hey, Townies, welcome to another episode of Dumb People Town. Population you.
Population Morrill.
Sam Morrill. Welcome
What's
back
up,
to the show,
How
buddy.
How are you?
Thanks for having me, man. I'm all right. I'm in your hometown right now.
That's right. You're
Saint
in St. Louis.
Rochelle?
No.
Dan said St.
There's no
Louis.
Comedy club in Rochelle,
well,
Illinois.
Someday I have my dream.
Someday there might be, but yeah. We just got to hang with you at the Moon Tower Comedy Festival. I watched your set at Antone's. It was
so
good. So
freaking good.
So
Thank
good.
You,
and
man.
We're
going
to give you, I mean, we're just, obviously, we're fans of yours. It takes a lot for us to sit and watch
someone else do
set.
Comedy.
I'm just like.
Doesn't it feel like homework?
Yes.
It does a little, except unless it's funny.
Unless it's people we like. You know
and
what
you
I mean?
Were great.
Thank you, man. Thanks for coming to that show. That was a fun one.
Really
and,
fun.
And I know we'll talk about this later, but you have a movie that's out on YouTube right now called Full Capacity, which I watched, which I loved.
We'll get into it later.
I'm just learning about
but
it.
But you're in. Well, you
well,
it.
You can watch it because you've lived it in a sense, Dan. It's about comedy coming back in New York City after the pandemic and what comics have had to go through and the emotions. And
it's a great
timestamp on an unbelievable moment in history.
Exactly. We'll talk about that later. And for our Patreon fans, there's one moment in there's one scene in there that I watched that I want to really
we'll
talk about. We'll
yeah,
get
yeah,
into the scene of the guy, the homeless.
Don't say,
it's don't. Crazy.
During an interview,
also,
something happens
a home.
In the background.
You don't know.
I don't know. Maybe how it's just
lives.
His. That might be his fetish.
Fine.
Right. We'll talk about that later. But first, you're in St. Louis. You're in our hometown, and it hasn't been going great for you so far?
Well, yeah, I'm with my buddy Gary Veeder, and Gary's a great comic. We do the road together a lot, and we check into this hotel. Some of these hotels were better before the pandemic.
Yeah.
And also, my girlfriend's texting me. She's like, if you've been on the road a long time, if you notice a hotel is bad, you have such a low bar.
Yeah.
So Gary had like pubes on his bed, and he was like, I got hairs on my bed. And I was like, we should change rooms. My room was terrible. I changed rooms. And then we were both like, this is pretty horrible. There's like batteries in the pillow for sure. There's like hard things in the pillow.
Wait,
I'm like,
you
I can't sleep here.
Were you in a boy's prison? What's happening?
What? Batteries
in a pillow. That's how you beat
I don't know
someone
what the
up.
Hell it was. It was crazy. Then last night I'm in the club and I'm about to go on and I'm in the green room bathroom and I'm peeing and I lock the door. I don't even know why I locked. I'm the only one in there. It's just instinct, you know?
Yeah.
And I can't get out. Like, the door is stuck.
Shut up.
And I'm just, I hear Gary, like, wrapping up his set, and I'm like, I'm not going to be on stage. So I'm kind of like, what do I do? So I text the manager. I text everyone there whose numbers I have, and they're like, oh, shit, this has happened before. So they're trying to get me out of the bathroom, and they can't do it either.
Dude.
So
I'm just,
God.
So Gary brings me on stage, and I ain't there. So he's like, all right, I guess I'll keep performing. And
oh, my God.
It gets to the point where I say, fuck it, I'm kicking the door down. And the guy was like, all right. I was like, just get out of the way. So I kick the door. I kick the handle off.
So you bust down the door, and the first thing you say on stage is, I'm sorry, I've been locked in a bathroom. You and R. Kelly.
Yeah, and I just start riffing on it, and I was like, I better not get invoiced for a fucking door, you know?
You will.
But
you
we'll
will.
See, you know?
No,
and,
you will not. There is
was,
not a world
it,
in which
if it was
I
the
pay
funny
that
bone,
bill.
If it was the funny bone. It was the funny bone. It wasn't the funny bone. It was helium. But it was the funny bone, you're getting invoiced for that fucking door.
I mean, if it's
I don't even think
bone.
The funny bone has a green room, though. I think I'm safe there.
If it's funny bone, you're getting invoiced for parking.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's a free lot.
Those guys, you know, I played the funny bone. They were always real cool to me. You know,
good. They're not great. But anyway,
wait. So what was the amount of time from, oh shit, Sam's supposed to be out here to the time you got out there? Would you say? I'm sure it felt like an hour.
Probably like 90 seconds.
Oh,
not that
still
long.
Too long.
Still
an eternity.
Still feels
too long.
Like eternity.
If you don't walk out on stage when the person is like, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Morrill, it feels like a lifetime. Like
it only happened one other time this pandemic. I was in Atlantic City with my friend Anthony DeVito, and I had like a tall vodka soda.
Yep.
And I just misstepped on the way out, and I spilled the vodka on myself. So I looked really drunk. The fact that I came out late and the fact that spilled vodka on myself.
That's always a great way to start.
So
guys.
Then I had like a riff miss out of the gate and they were like, he's drunk. And I was like, I'm not that drunk.
Guys, this is just four coincidental things that happened in a row.
And I can't.
And then I pissed my pants just by coincidence.
Of course.
I was like, guys.
Yeah.
This is all coincidence.
Did you want me to go to the bathroom and then not be able to come out of the door? I'm here. I just got it on stage.
So funny.
All right, let's jump into a story because we got Sam here. Let's just jump
here.
In
we go. This is sent in by Eric James Hiltner at EJH.
I'm a Hiltner honors member.
Have you stayed at a Hiltner?
It's a great.
You should be staying at a Hiltner.
Yeah. It's the word three, not the number. Okay. So at EJH3K. Headline is this: Florida man steals from dealership, crashes, pretends.
Wait, what?
That's all I got
crashes
for you.
Crashes and then pretends that he didn't crash
the
car?
Here we
go. So you steal a car from a dealership.
A Florida man has been arrested after stealing multiple sets of keys from an auto dealership and chose to drive off. Now, remember, he's in an auto dealership. He has broken in. But he chooses to drive off in a 2005 GMC Sierra pickup truck. You have a whole pick.
You could get whatever you
want. Whatever you want.
That's
you
a 16-year-old car, Sam. That's the 2000.
I can't drive.
Oh, you can't.
I would only steal. I would never steal a car. It's funny. Like I see people, you know, bragging about cars. I'm like, it doesn't. I can't ride a bike.
Yeah.
Sam, I was going to ask you. Sorry, this is a dumb question. Have you ever driven a go-kart?
Yeah.
But you can handle that, obviously.
Yeah, but that just doesn't feel real.
Right. Yeah, I just wonder what it feels like to drive a go-kart. But I guess I was a kid and drove a go-kart and had no idea how to drive a car.
So
that's not real.
My daughter's 16 and she's like has no desire whatsoever to like try and get her license
or a GMC Sierra. Yeah.
She has no desire to break into a dealership and steal keys and do it. But I mean, I'm like, yeah, maybe she'll grow up like Sam and never drive. She might not have to.
West Coast never driving is that's a bold. What's her plan?
I don't know, man. I'm like, yeah, I'll take
Norm McDonald.
No, she's like she could be like Norm and die
fired
early.
From SNL.
And die early.
Police RIP. Police responded Friday to a burglary report at LG Auto Sales. So maybe just the name alone. Auto Sales usually means used cars, so that's maybe the 2005 was the pick of the litter.
Yeah, maybe that's the newest car they have.
Everything
on that
else
lot.
Was just a Saturn.
Yeah.
LG Auto Sales located in Boynton Beach, where the suspect identified as Gino Puglisi. Allegedly stole a laundry list of property from the dealership.
So here's my question, Sam. If you are in Florida and you own a car or any business in Florida, shouldn't there be like dumb insurance that you get like a certain like an umbrella of like there's some crazy shit that's probably going to happen here.
Right.
This has got to fall under my crazy shit that's going to happen
victim
here.
Victim of crime insurance, which I'm sure they have, but I mean it's more specific to like
Florida's
Florida,
got to have
man.
Another
right.
layer of
right.
it.
Right, exactly.
Like, woman gives birth to baby and also starts shooting out the tires of thing. I have a policy
right.
for that.
Or somebody like, somebody just sets your window on fire. There's a policy for that.
Absolutely. There should be a policy like maybe my kid murders his girlfriend and Dog the Bounty Hunter comes after him. There should be a policy.
I wonder, then where did that story come from?
Yeah. All right. According to Boynton Beach Police, Puglisi allegedly made off with a 45-inch Samsung TV.
Oh, from the dealership.
Yes. Okay. Two Dell laptops.
By the way, why is it that every car dealership is showing like a movie from 1998? Like they can't get anything newer in the waiting area.
It's all Armageddon.
Hey, Con Air is playing on.
I would
like,
watch it though.
I mean, fine. But
two Dell laptops. Like those are worth less than like
the energy
to carry them around.
Exactly.
Like a Dell.
Dude, I like being stuck in the 90s, man. It was a better time.
This guy's trying to recapture some time he lost. Uh-huh. Two Dell laptops, $3,000 worth of wrenches, screwdrivers, and pliers.
I mean, that's valuable stuff.
Along with, just for fun, I'm going to ask you guys, how many sets of keys?
Okay.
Now, he stole
but he only took one car.
Yes. He only needed one for the GMC.
Right, but then you steal the other keys and it's like, oh, is he going to come back and steal another car? Because he could just go through and just weep all over the place and then try and get the car later.
You should take him to one of those sex parties where you pull the keys out.
Yes.
He gets to bang so many wives.
I know. Yes.
You got to find the Pontiac Aztec of your dreams at this party.
1998. Pontiac Aztec. Okay. How many keys, Sam, do you think he stole?
How many sets of keys do you think he stole?
I'm going to go 22.
22. Yeah. Oh, nice. Love that number.
Jay, what do I'm going to say 14 sets of keys.
14?
11.
He stole 60 sets of keys.
Whoa!
Damn. Which kind of makes you feel like that's what he was there for.
Just to steal
keys.
If
this were the Price is Right, I won, but I don't even feel like a winner because I was so far off.
I
mean, 60 sets of keys.
Jeez.
Does this guy feel like a winner?
Or he's on My Strange Addiction. What are you going to do with that many keys?
Maybe you like the idea of your pants almost falling down because you know he put like 30 in one pocket, 30 in the other pocket, and your pants were like just hanging down.
So he stole $3,000 worth of wrenches and screwdrivers and pliers.
Where did he put those?
A 45-inch in the truck.
In the back
of
the truck.
45-inch Samsung TV.
Yep.
Two Dell laptops with 60 sets of keys.
Two Dell laptops, market value $30.
I feel like I'm in a white trash 12 Days of Christmas song. 60 sets of keys and a GMC Sierra truck, all valued at how much money?
So there we go, Sam. Now, how much money?
So you know,
so
it's know over 3,000.
With the cars included?
Yes, the truck included.
Truck included.
2005 Sierra.
Do you think this was how he figured the deal he was getting? Look, out the door. We'll throw in the truck.
You get the TV. You get 60 sets of keys.
I'll give you two Dells. You got to carry them, though.
I don't know. With 60 cars?
60 keys. Just sets of keys.
By the way, the Dell.
Just the keys? I don't know. What are we doing? $4,000? $5,000?
$5,000? All right. The Dell laptops.
But,
but
you're also including, 60 sets of keys.
$3,000
TV. So you already know you're at $3,000 for the wrenches.
At least three. Oh, for the wrenches.
Right.
Yeah.
Then the TV.
Uh-huh.
But we're just talking the keys, not the cars.
No,
right?
We're talking everything.
Car and keys.
I'm going to run down
the
list.
Oh, we're including the cars.
Here's the list. You tell me how much
he didn't steal 60 cars. He only stole one car, but he sold 60 sets of keys, which means he can't drive
those. And let me just be clear that the Dell laptops each come with computer bags where the strap is broken.
Yes.
Leather.
Okay, I'm going to run the list down for you one more time, and then you guys tell me how much you think all this is valued.
Yeah.
This is everything he stole. A 45-inch Samsung TV.
Yes.
Two Dell laptops. 45
inches, like, that's like $400 probably. Those aren't expensive anymore.
Not at all.
35 inches.
That's a Black Friday
small.
Deal you get for $60.
Yeah.
Okay. 45-inch Samsung TV.
Yep.
Two Dell tops.
Yep.
Dell tops.
Dell Tapos.
$3,000 worth of wrenches, screwdrivers, and pliers. So you're in for $3,000.
The floor is $3,000.
60 sets of keys
that
and a 2005 GMC Sierra truck. Okay. How much do you think all of that together?
All in, Sam. What is valued?
So this is I'm guessing I'm adding up 60 cars.
You're in the showcase showdown.
He didn't steal the cars. He just stole the keys.
Okay, well then I'm going like 7,500. I'm going 7,000.
I'm gonna say 11,000.
Okay.
$13,126.
Okay. The total cost of all these things.
I can't.
Or value.
Uh huh.
$36,500.
Whoa!
Now that is overpriced.
Jesus.
Are they saying each key because of the fob is like a $500?
Probably. Maybe.
And the truck? What's a GMC? That can't be more than $17,000 for a 2005 truck.
I don't know. Maybe those Dell computers were like big desktop computers.
Here's where it gets fun. Police later spotted the stolen truck at around 12:50 p.m. on Friday, which I assume is the next day, afternoon. He's out running errands.
Yeah, just
an officer
around.
Allegedly tried to flag down Puglisi, which is not pull him over.
Just
wave
him
over.
Buddy.
Come on over
here,
man, bud.
Come here for a second. Tries to flag him down. The man kept driving.
Of course.
Police say that.
And he's going to say he didn't see him. You didn't see the cop.
Police say that a pursuit ended until it was called off because Puglisi continued at a high rate of speed. The man then crashed the truck into an office building, fled the scene, and was taken into custody. This is where it gets real fun, Dumb People Town. It was taken into custody by police after he was found pretending to be grilling on a porch at a nearby apartment.
That is improv.
Do,
yes,
do you think
and.
He runs up to these people's house? He's like, let me blend in.
Just grabs an apron, grabs whatever.
What's going on over there?
Hey, did you guys hear that crash in that office building?
You get a set of keys.
Dude, that is...
Pretending to be grilling
is just my favorite thing that this guy did the entire time.
Right. It's like a stepdad at a party he doesn't want to be at. He's like, I'm going to go over here and pretend to grill.
Grill's not even on. There's nothing on it. He's just motioning like, I got to turn that little...
Yeah. Those. I love it. Okay.
Jesus.
He refused to talk to officers about the incident after he was arrested and is now facing charges of burglary, grand theft auto of a motor vehicle, and criminal mischief. That's got to be for pretending to grill.
I love it. Pretending to grill.
I will ask you guys.
Mischief is such a fun term.
Isn't it?
You are guilty of mischief. It just sounds kind of, you kind of like kind of a fun guy.
Yeah. Licensed to grill.
How? There you go. That's great.
Thank you.
How old is Gino Puglisi?
The Feastie Boys.
And I'm going to show you a picture after you guess. So okay. Here's what you know about him. He'll steal a lot of keys. He wants two Dell laptops.
He's good with a 2005 truck.
That makes him happy.
And then
53.
He's
53.
And he likes to pretend.
You said 53.
Okay, 53.
Okay, Jay, what do you think?
I'm going to say 38.
38, okay.
58.
58.
Yeah.
All right, one of you is only 1 year off.
All right, so I'm going to say 57.
So you can all get the chance to go up or down a year. You can go 57, Randy?
I say 57.
39.
39. Sam?
55.
You can't go up two.
You're only going up one.
Oh, wait, what'd I say?
53.
So 54?
54.
Okay.
Gino Puglisi is 52 years old.
Oh,
look
man,
at him.
Look at this guy.
That's him in his truck. He's living his best life. He just wants to pretend to grill.
He has cheekbones. He's got sad eyes right there.
I don't know if this will land for you guys, but he looks like an old Dobby from the Harry Potter movies.
That's right.
Yeah, he does. Look at that guy.
Oh, I like him.
You do?
I mean, kind of.
I want to take him home.
Kind
of. Mom, can we keep him?
He's grilling outside. Can we keep him?
He's really good at pretend.
He does look like one of the early concept drawings for a Mogwai.
He looks kind of like a pencil, like a human pencil. Yeah. He looks kind of like a gentle little fella. I feel for him.
He looks like a Rick and Morty character,
right?
Like, to scale.
Yeah, like this is an this looks animated. At
yes,
this point.
He is animated.
He does look like a pencil, and like a pencil, he'd like to erase everything he's done in the last year.
Okay, that's Puglisi. That's story number
story
one.
Story number
friends.
One down the book.
Like he looks like he wears prison clothes like out in the world.
Yeah, he's got like prison
dress. He wears it well. That's
yeah.
The problem. It's like you're like this dude. He was built for this type of look at that.
He was like his V-necks need to go down. He needs to show like
dude,
a little cleavage.
He was designed for that neckline.
Mm-hmm. I'll I say bet that. He loves a Captain and Coke.
He's got like, cheekbones too.
Oh
look
no,
at
dude!
For days, a model.
For days,
he's
bro.
A model.
Yeah.
All right, that's story number one.
He's like the surface of the moon, very rocky. All right, there you go. Story number one. When we come back after the break, we're going to talk about Full Capacity, the documentary that Sam Morril did. That is on YouTube. You can watch it. If you love comedy and you love the idea that comedy is back, just figuring out how it got back during the pandemic.
Sure.
We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. This is Dumb People Town. Don't worry.
Stick around. Make a sound. There's more Dumb People Town.
Hey, guys. Welcome back to Dumb People Town. Before we get into Sam's awesome movie, we want to mention to you guys that Randy and I will be in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Heck yeah, you will.
At a comedy club that we help save.
Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase, October 22nd, 23rd. We got three shows scheduled now, but I'd love to add a fourth on that late Friday night. Just spoke to Roger, and he's like, if we can do it, let's do it. So get your tickets now. And then the next month we'll be at the Croc in Seattle at the
nice.
Crocodile. I'm very excited. I haven't done that club yet.
December Tempe Improv, and then maybe Denver Comedy Works in
January, then the Comedy Loft in DC in February, then Hilarities in Cleveland in March. So full thing,
and then back at Moon Tower.
Supersklars.com. Dan, I know you've got stuff coming
up. The Halloweengo episode episode show of Bingo with a Halloween
super fun
flair
so much
to
fun.
It we raise money for NoKill Animal Shelters, Big Brothers Big Sisters, and food banks. Plus we have a lot of fun, and we do a movie club as well where you watch a movie and then we get together and talk about it. We're doing Babadook, we're doing Hocus Pocus until my tour kicks back up in March. Hopefully all that stuff is at danielvankirk.com, and also I have a Patreon, patreon.com/danielvankirk, where you have perks for every single one of those shows that I do. Plus I still do episodes of The Goodnight Show on there, and you have access to The Hindsight, which you guys both did, that Hindsight
great
podcast
show.
As well. It's only $5 for every single thing that I do.
Same with our Patreon. All right, let's talk about the YouTube movie, because I watched it, and it was, we lived it out here in Los Angeles, and just the idea, the notion of coming back and doing comedy in front of audiences when we hadn't for so long, Full Capacity, it to me seemed like, I don't know how it started. It to me feels like the most organic movie ever is just you sitting around with your friends being like, how are you feeling right now? And then you're like, this is a movie.
Yeah, man. I did that rooftop special. My friend Matt Salicus, who directed that, was just following me around. And he started just filming.
Yeah.
Me talking to people, and it, yeah, that's just really what happened. We realized how many of these people I hadn't seen in a year, how many of them were kind of a little messed up, had some PTSD from this last year.
Yeah.
Some of them hadn't worked in forever. So many people were scared to get back on stage. You were seeing a lot of, like, you know, pretty respected comics who felt pretty damn rusty. I mean, even hearing guys like Ray Romano be like, I'm scared. It's pretty damn vulnerable. So we got some great stuff in the doc.
And it's just, there was like, first of all, the footage is great because it really documents what it was like. And we were feeling it out here. We getting back on stage at the Comedy Store, and, you know, you get back up there and you're like, man, this is there was a period of time where there couldn't be audience in the first two rows. So they're just way back there. I know you guys had like the plexiglass. This is this like a comedy stage or a bank
or like a KFC in a rough neighborhood?
There were shows on trains in New York. And then obviously,
I mean, talk about a hostage gig. That's brutal. Yeah. Right? That's the worst thing. I get furious when I see a dance troupe come on. So I can't imagine someone being like,
here, now listen to my, listen to my premise. Yeah.
I remember doing those gigs. Like, you used to do these hostage gigs where we call them ambush shows, as you guys know. You get up there at some restaurant and they don't know there's going to be a show.
No clue.
People are just eating dinner and we're like, you guys ready for comedy? And they're all like,
no.
We're on a date. And then you're like, what's your fucking problem? And they're like, I'm talking to my mom. Like, what do you mean? Like, we just pissed people off, you know?
It's just, that's the last thing. Like, comedy, what we realized in many ways, and this speaks to it. We often say this to people. Comedy and getting it right is like summiting Everest. You know, all the conditions have to be perfect. And even then, there could be like a wispy cloud off in the distance.
And you can die.
Yeah, you'll lose somebody.
A wispy cloud off in the distance can just come and ruin. And that's a bachelorette party just coming in to ruin your show.
For sure. I mean, and these were such bad conditions, you know. I mean, you talked about the plexiglass and on stage. Bobby Kelly, there's a moment in the doc where he talks about telling fat jokes while having to look at himself
in the plexiglass. Them. That's
so he's like, I'm looking at my neck jiggle as I'm telling these fat jokes. You know, it's like, and we all, it's weird that it's just a piece of plexiglass, but it really hurts the connection of the crowd. It was. 30% full at first, which for the Comedy Cellar just feels weird. Even though that was technically capacity, people look around and they're just like, this isn't full. And also these people haven't been out in a while. So I think a lot of people just didn't respect the show as much. They forgot how to behave. So we kind of track that all the way to the full capacity when it's people on top of each other again. And it's pretty crazy. Just the transition of it all.
I had the feeling in LA, specifically at the Comedy Store in the main room, that like the people that were there and now especially, they're so happy to be at a show. There is just this genuine, I don't know. It's like it's hard to describe, except when we walk out on stage, I can sense this, like there's a thank you from the audience being like, thank you for doing this and giving us this experience. Kind of an appreciation that they're even out in the first place, that maybe it took a year and a half, year and three quarters to get to that place. But are you feeling that on stage in New York right now?
Well, the truth is I haven't done a ton of sets in New York lately. I've been on the road every week.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I definitely feel good energy from New York crowds. It's a different crowd than it was before the pandemic. I think a lot of people left New York.
Yeah.
A lot of these crowds of the Cellar feel a little younger.
Uh-huh.
I did Gotham on Tuesday night, and, you know, I followed Jim Gaffigan, like, you know, awesome. Who's crushing. Joe List went on after me, was crushing. I mean, it's like good comedians
going
on these shows, and they're seeing great shows, and the crowds have been killer.
You know, and I felt like and I know you said this about the High Plains in Denver, the audiences there were just amazing. But I felt like in Austin, you know, we've been doing that festival every year, but those audiences were so stoked to be there. There was not a bad set in that whole time.
No, and there's a feeling of, and this is what we say, it's sometimes we will say like, well, what do we really do? I mean, we don't make anything. We just get on stage. Like the knock on America is we're not making any physical things anymore. But I think the value of a good experience or a joke that stays with people for a long time or a concept or a bit that someone retells and brings them joy, even if they just remember it when they're in the shower the next day, the joy that comedians bring is this thing this experience, when we had experiences taken away from us, which is really what your movie's about for a year, year and a half.
It's like the experience.
We realized,
as a
oh
thing.
Shit, we need these experiences. These are just as important in our lives as like a new pair of shoes or a whatever the fuck we need in our lives. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I've also ruined a lot of nights for people too. Oh, I'm sure you have. I don't want to pat myself too hard on the back. I've definitely sent some people to the door like, not yep. for me.
Yeah, no, sure. Thank you. That one was too dark. I'm sorry. I can't.
But,
sure.
Yeah, no, but. I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, I'm in St. Louis. The crowd last night was great. Like, there awesome. Is an energy yeah. of people that are, you know, there is. I don't want to say grateful because that sounds so.
They're excited.
That sounds like weird to me. Like, they're grateful to laugh again. It feels like yeah. we're like, you know. Yeah.
It's good to laugh
like
again.
Like we're in the ER
yeah.
and we're saving lives. Like I don't know about that, but I do feel like, yeah, they missed this. There's something. How many episodes of Queen's Gambit can you watch before you're like, I want to see a person
right. enter. Only 50.
I want live entertainment. So that's right. I think that's people right. are going to feel it with this. I think you feel it at live sporting events. Mm-hmm. I think
yeah. totally.
They like being part of a group because, I mean, I used to love to go see a comedy in a crowded theater. And they just don't make that many big comedies anymore. Right. Hollywood yeah, right. doesn't make that many big
right.
comedies. But there's something about laughing in a room with a bunch of people and sharing that. That's fun.
That's mm-hmm. the audience experience that is that you can't even. Yeah. Like there's the group experience of like, remember that night we saw this guy here or this woman perform here. It's just whatever. I love the movie Full Capacity. People can watch it on YouTube. Leave a nice comment. Like it.
Sure.
You know, you can't subscribe to it. It's or is it on your page or how do we.
Yeah, it's on my YouTube channel. Okay, it's just Sam Morril. YouTube.com/Sam Morril. MORRIL.
Give him a follow and watch the movie and give it a comment.
I love it. So good. If you love comedy, like people who are listening to the show,
man.
You'll love it. All right, let's hop into another
Ready
story.
For this?
Show. Yep.
Yes. Sent in by Kyle Andrews at Late Night Nachos. Love that handle.
Love
it's
it.
A good handle.
Good handle. So true.
Thanks, Kyle, for sending this in. You can do that too. Just go to Twitter at Daniel Van Kirk, hashtag Dumb People Town, and then put in the link in the headline.
I wonder if
know.
Kyle is that way. Like, you feel great when you hang out with him, and then afterwards you're like, I shouldn't have done
shouldn't
that.
Have done
oh,
it.
God, man.
He is Late Night Nachos.
Oh, God. That was a bad call.
Anytime Nachos.
After the fact with Kyle, man. Damn.
All right. Here's the headline. Ready? Newlyweds send invoice to guests who RSVP'd yes but didn't show up to wedding.
I love
fair.
This.
You're
I
on
love
this board?
This.
I did not know where you got. Sam,
totally fair.
Where are you on invoicing people who no-show your wedding?
I mean,
I'm,
I guess it's fair. I don't know. That's a tough one. I'm not married, so I guess
right.
it costs
yeah,
a ton
either.
Of money to
ton
put together,
of money,
right?
And then if you sort of... So you're saying they RSVP'd yes and then
so they
didn't
ordered
show.
The meal.
So you ordered
so you
the meal.
Pay
yes.
for the meal.
So they RSVP'd yes, said we'll have the meat, we'll have the chicken.
I mean,
we'll have the steak.
Listen,
whatever.
What's the reason? Did they give a reason or it's just a no show?
We'll go into it. An American couple is going viral for drawing up an invoice for a guest who RSVP'd yes to their wedding but didn't show up on the big day. Doug,
please say it's a family member. Because, like, if it's a shitty family
no,
member...
No, it's a friend, I think.
Okay. Well, former friend.
Former friend.
Doug and Deidre recently tied the knot at Royalton Negril Resort in Spa, and Spa in Jamaica. Shall
All right.
I?
Whoa, isn't
whoa,
destination.
Whoa, whoa.
That's
it was in Jamaica?
That's
yes.
Destination.
Now, fuck them.
Yeah.
Now,
agreed. I'm with you, dude. I'm
destination
with you.
Wedding? Eat shit.
I know.
And
but why are
you... Here's the thing
yes.
you have to understand. The wedding is for you. This is
right.
for you, so... I mean, to out of the gate, if you're like, our wedding's in Jamaica, then they kind of suck.
But yeah. they're saying they said they were going to be there.
I know.
My feeling is this. If you invite 100 people to your wedding, you're spending a $100 people wedding.
That's
now,
right.
Now, if 96 show up, you still...
Also,
a 100-person wedding. It
expect
doesn't...
three people to be like, my husband had a boil on his ass and couldn't sit on a plane, so we have to cancel. You know what I mean? Like
right.
That's going to happen.
Factor
like,
it in.
Factor
it
in.
I'm with you. Dude, what? And what? Like, they probably had to pay for a flight still, right? Or did they?
I don't know. What happened here?
I mean, if these people paid for their flight, then yeah, you should get your money back. But if they... If it's just you paid for like a meal and they booked the plane tickets to Jamaica, then
right.
you know.
Yeah.
But when the two guests failed to show, the bride and groom decided to invoice them for the money they wasted. That would be the bride and groom. And the move has divided social media users in a fierce debate.
Of course it has. Of course.
The Huffington Post editor, Philip Lewis, shared a photo of the invoice, which has gone viral this week. He wrote,
How much?
I don't. Oh, we're going to do it.
We're going to do it. We're going to
I don't
guess.
Think I've ever seen a wedding reception invoice before, LOL, he wrote. Doug and Deidre formatted an official-looking invoice for expenditures listing wedding reception dinner no-show.
Wow.
So it's like a service industry. Yeah. No call, no show.
Sure.
As the only line item. That's the only line item.
That's it.
So it's wedding, just the meal. Reception, dinner, no show.
You didn't
show.
Charge them for entertainment? Like yes. You guys, service fee?
Okay. The two units for a no show to dinner brought the total bill to how much money? How much do you guys think worth it for Doug and Deidre to go, fuck them.
I'm going to write up an invoice.
I'm going to create an invoice.
Create an invoice. It's number one. How much did they charge?
It's just dinner, though?
It's just dinner. Two. So whatever your number is, multiply it by, think of that by two.
I'm going to guess. I mean, this might be conservative, but
$1,300
for dinner. Just dinner.
As your friend Sam, I'm going to tell you that's way high.
Okay, well, that's what I'm thinking would require an invoice. All right, fine. I'll lower it. Let's say $800.
Okay.
Jay, what do you
say? That's still way high. Okay. I'm going to say $140.
So $70
a plate. $70 a plate.
I think
that's it?
I think $240.
$240.
$120 a plate.
Okay.
Okay, I don't even know what wedding's
cost. You want to adjust? Go feel free.
You can adjust. He's not giving the answer yet.
All right, let me go. Let me lower it then. I'll go 450.
Okay. So 225 a plate.
Okay.
I'm saying 70 a plate.
Okay.
Randy's saying 110.
120.
120 a plate.
Okay. One of you is exactly right. Now we get to play the game.
Who do you think is exactly right?
You could stick with yourself or you can go with somebody else's number. Sam.
I got to stick with myself.
I'm staying with myself.
I feel strong.
We're all staying put.
Okay. The total bill, the total invoice for two dinners at this wedding in Jamaica
that they sent
is $240.
Oh, Randy. All nice.
Right. Way to go, man.
Jeez. How many times have you been married, bro?
Once.
No, but he just got done with a bat mitzvah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's right. Expensive.
$120 each.
Okay.
And now, here is, I'm going to bring it up for you guys. This is the invoice that they actually sent out to them.
Jeez.
So that's the tweet. And then you can see under it says, Doug and Deidre, wedding reception, invoice, no call, no show.
Invoice number 0000001.
Which is another little bit of shade.
Such a dicky way to do that.
Invoice date, due date. They're giving them 1 month.
So it's a remit.
The reason I went so high is because I'm just like, well, why? You're going to invoice over this? Just don't talk to him ever again.
Right. This tells you who these people are.
Right.
They're like, we want them to not talk to us ever again.
So if the goal is, the money shouldn't matter to you because you overspent on a wedding anyway, and $240 getting lost in the wash is like somebody ordering two more bottles of champagne at the end of the night.
Especially when usually at a wedding, this is a play of a lot of banquet halls. I know it from all my friends being married.
Yeah.
Well, you have the room until midnight, right? And then they'll come up to you and they'll go,
Do you want
it for another hour and the bar? Because it's this. And most of the time, it's somebody's uncle or dad or whatever. And they're like fuck it.
Fuck it. $2,000?
Fuck it.
I'll do it.
Yeah.
So like for $240
is nothing.
So what would have been better?
It's like Sam's saying, just never talk to him.
Or
again.
What would have been better if you want to publicly shame them and get a viral moment? I think you take
a photograph of the two meals.
Empty meals. And then you photograph of their reply to the reception that they'll be there. And then you say these guys finked out on this and these guys suck and here are their handles.
Public shame.
Yes.
But this is a public shame backfire because these people look like idiots. I hate the fucking public shaming shit.
Just stop talking to them.
Here's a text. Like, why is this being leaked?
Here's the notes on the invoice.
Because you made an invoice. That's why it's being leaked.
They actually wrote this on it. This invoice is being sent to you because you confirmed seats at the wedding reception during the final headcount. The amount above is the cost of your individual seats. Because you didn't call or give us proper notice that you wouldn't be in attendance, this amount is what you owe us for paying for your seats in advance. You can pay via Zelle or PayPal. Please reach out to us and let us know which method of payment works for you. Thank you.
What if this was an ad for Zelle?
Shit.
You know what I mean? I've seen a lot of ads for Zelle in the sporting events.
I mean, it's
now
a way
recently.
To get
this
them out there. Yeah.
It's Zelle.
No Venmo either, huh?
No cash
making
app.
Making it tough. No making it tough.
They don't trust that.
But PayPal, that's just...
The invoice has earned mixed reactions, with some people furiously slamming the couple for being tacky and petty.
Mm-hmm. Right. The couple that's petty together usually stays together.
Oh, for sure. They never turn on each other.
Just ask Tom Petty.
Or if they do, that divorce is going to have a lot of invoices, man.
A lot. lot of invoices.
The invoices for that divorce are going to be insane.
I bought four oranges. You ate one orange. Because you ate that orange without
you
asking.
You can sell me.
Here's what some people had to say. I understand. This is people, of course, on the internet. I understand being upset about a no-show guest for a small wedding, but sending an invoice is too much. One person wrote, nah, this is petty. You create a budget for any event in advance. Either you can afford it if everyone shows up or not.
Damn,
no shows at a wedding might be personally hurtful, but the guests don't owe you shit.
So I'm going to go back to what Sam said. This should have been a text, because once you put an invoice out there,
now it gets, everyone can have an opinion.
Now you've
on
invited
it.
All these idiots dumbasses. to start weighing
I don't want
to
know your stupid opinion about this thing. Shut the fuck up.
Some people
are
like, you don't know what's going on in somebody else's life. Maybe there was a car accident or a family emergency. Yeah.
Someone's like, let me weigh in on this. They're going to want to know what I
think. This is someone in their life that they've had problems with in the past.
Yes,
that's right. I definitely think they're like, okay, now's the time to really put the claims
Let's go public on this one.
Some commenters were right behind the couple, with a few wishing they'd pulled the same thing. One person wrote, I don't care what people say. I wish we would have done this. You know how much money we wasted on no-shows? It's pure disrespect. That's why I tell everybody, come to Rochelle, Illinois, and just have a goddamn buffet at your wedding.
That's it.
Here's my thing.
You're not even,
Dan.
It's just troughs of food.
So I don't understand this. I'm going to call bullshit on this a little bit, because if this is a destination wedding, okay, your guests don't get there day of.
Yes.
All right. They get there the night before, especially Jamaica.
Sometimes more than that.
But two nights before. Yeah. I mean, there's usually an event the night before,
Join us for the rehearsal dinner, the
whatever. Yeah. Then there's a thing that day. Yeah. If you don't see those people there the night before or day of, you shoot a text and you say, hey, are you guys coming? Because we don't see you here. And if they come back and say, no, we're not coming, then you say, assholes, you should have let us know. You let the kitchen know. You say, hey, we're canceling these two things. Take these off the bill. Right. These two people aren't coming, and you don't pay for it.
Right.
So that's
kind of
on them.
Well, don't you think they probably text them and they didn't reply?
So if they did, that's why they went public with it.
But well, right.
Sam, you hit.
But
the nail.
How much do you think a trip to Jamaica? Like
it's
you
expensive.
Said, that you get in the night before or more. You probably
it's $300 round trip, right?
Nights.
Oh my god!
How much
god.
Do you think this is costing a guest?
At least a few $1,000s, because then with the gift
and
I know
plus a gift
and a hotel accommodation.
Yeah, please.
Okay, Sam.
You're asking for $5,000 minimum, right?
Right. And they're like, sorry, we'll take the invoice.
Sam hit the nail on the head. This is the last thing we wrote, and I think this person's right, and I think Sam was exactly right. This is what this person said, and we'll get out of here on this. Everyone knows they don't actually want the $240, right? They said, if you were throwing a destination wedding at the resort of one of the most beautiful beaches on earth, it's certainly not about the money. This is a public fuck off, friendship over notice to a former friend.
It's an invoice.
You're sending this to say, let's never talk
Our
again.
Friendship
but I like
is
Sam,
over.
It's just like, just don't ever talk
Send
again.
Send a text or don't do it.
Yeah.
Some people like to do it publicly. All
I
right,
hope
there
it's
you
a
go.
Coworker
That's
and they
story
have to
number
online.
Two.
You didn't get enough attention at your fucking Jamaica wedding? You have to get more attention.
I'm sorry. You could have sent the invoice from under a waterfall.
Yeah.
Give us a little taste of what we're going to hear in segment three.
It's like a hat on a hat on a hat, but with a knife.
I can't wait. And we all know about Gilding the Lily too much in the comedy world. And when we come back, our Patreon fans, we're going to have a quick little convo about a great moment in Sam's movie. Mm-hmm. Don't go anywhere. And if you're not a part of the Patreon,
you better join it.
Good stuff happening. This is Dumb People Town. Don't go anywhere.
Stick around. Make a sound for more Dumb People Town.
All right, Daniel, take us home.
All right, here we go. This is short, but it's a ride.
I love it. I'll take a short ride.
It's also one of those where, and I've said it a lot, but I say it when it applies. We only need the headline.
Okay, let's hear it.
Omaha man stabs himself in the leg while driving, holding knife, and eating Taco Bell. First of all, there is nothing at Taco Bell you need a knife
right.
for.
Right. So you've heard of Omaha steaks. This is an Omaha mistake.
Yeah,
there
that's right.
There
go.
We go. Wait, hang on a second. Like,
who needs a knife with a taco?
Is this the type of guy that takes a napkin and tucks it in the top of his shirt when he eats a chalupa?
I actually skipped a part. Omaha man stabs himself in the leg while driving on the phone with friend, holding knife and eating Taco Bell.
Wait, how do you do that? I guess he's hands-free on the phone.
Yeah, because you need the gordita in one, right? And then
well,
you're
why?
Obviously.
What kind of knife are we talking?
I think it might be like a Crocodile Dundee knife.
There's no.
That's not.
Do you
a
think
knife.
They even have knives at Taco Bell?
That's not.
No.
A
even
knife.
In the kitchen, do you think there's a knife?
No, I bet there is not one knife at Taco Bell.
At Chipotle, no. They make you believe there are knives.
No, well, there is because they're cutting the chicken and stuff right after. I'm saying in the kitchen,
Dan. If nobody ever has been, who's like, I work at Taco Bell in the kitchen, nobody has ever said to them, how are your knife skills?
Well, I'm sure everything in the Taco Bell, when they're like, on training, it's like, open this bag and pour it on
this.
Squeeze this
bag
and pour it on
that.
And then you've got a Crunchywrap Supreme.
Oh, my God.
Maybe he was just trying to show his friend how many ways he could hurt himself at once. You know?
That's right. Driving, talking on the phone, distracted.
Eating Taco Bell.
Yeah. Has a knife.
That's like the human version of too many apps open. Like, you're
overloading. Close some of that. Yeah. Just close it.
Oh, by the way, this was sent in by Katie Romy at kromy32, R-O-M-E-Y. Thanks, Katie. That might be the first time Katie's ever sent it.
Hey-o.
All right, traffic safety officials always say you shouldn't drive while distracted. More specifically, you shouldn't drive while talking to your friend on the phone, eating Taco Bell, and holding a knife.
By the way, this is something Sam Merrill will never do. No. He does not drive.
This is reason number 50 for him.
I was
going to
say probably doesn't eat Taco Bell.
But yeah, I bet you don't.
Unfortunately.
Some of that Taco Bell sauce is pretty good late
You'll
night.
Party with that. All right.
Unfortunately, an Omaha man did that Thursday night and inadvertently stabbed himself in the leg. The man had picked up some food at Taco Bell near 38 and Dodge Street. Now, this is in Omaha.
Because when you think about it, there's no better place to eat Mexican food than Omaha, Nebraska.
Just
right?
before 2 a.m. So that is that's fourth meal.
That's the window.
Yes. He's in the window. At least he's in. It's not like it's 5:15.
At least he's eating it at the right time.
Yes.
So we know alcohol had something
to
do course. With it.
Of course. Oh, he was
Taco Bell should really just be open from like midnight on.
100%. 100%.
What are your hours? Midnight to 4.
No. What are your hours? Dark. Dark time.
Drunk.
For you, and for Taco Bell cantinas. Have you seen those?
Yes.
It's just alcohol.
Yeah.
Taco
Bell. Shit. Yes. Are you serious?
Yes.
The man picked up some food at Taco Bell near 38 and Dodge Street just before 2 a.m. Thursday and was on his way to give some to his girlfriend. That means he ordered a Mexican pizza. According to a police report. As he was eating and driving, he later told police he was talking to a friend via Bluetooth speaker and looking at a knife that his friend gave him. Dude,
while
just
driving?
Get to the girlfriend's house.
Dan, he was thinking outside the bun. Give him some credit.
He then drove through a large pothole or hit a bump in the road. That's him trying to explain.
Yeah,
away,
then I don't know what happened.
I hit a bump in the road.
The jolt made him accidentally stab his right thigh with a knife, the police report said. The man was left with a 1 to 1.5 inch deep puncture wound in the top of his right thigh.
Oh, my God.
I know. So this is a
deep cut.
This is like a flea market knife, I'm imagining.
Yeah.
It's like ornate handle. Little flip-out shiny blade.
This is like the Pink Floyd song that's just all breathing. It's a deep cut.
The man then headed to the nearby Nebraska Medical Center where he waved down security officers and asked where the emergency room was. For some reason, that's where it ends.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to ask you guys this.
And then
how old do you think a man at around 2 a.m. talking
to
his friend, gandering a knife.
At a knife that his friend gave him, apparently.
Yes. Getting food for his girlfriend.
It's like the knife that they flick out in the Beat It video.
Sure.
You know, like those two, like kind of
little spring blades?
Gentle blades. Yes.
Okay.
My gut tells me he's either like 24 or 79.
Yeah. So pick one.
I'm
not a girlfriend.
Older. I'm going to guess like 50-something, like 56.
Okay. 56.
Jay, what do you
remember?
Yeah.
Jason's
got a girlfriend.
He's got a girlfriend.
They're calling it a girlfriend.
It's 2 a.m. He
See,
likes
I
knives.
Think he could be a 65-year-old guy with roommates.
He's got his Bluetooth speaker, Bluetooth hands-free set up.
Uh-huh. So I'm going to say he's 19.
19 years old.
I think he's 28.
28 years old.
Uh-huh.
All right. This will end our good time hangout with Mr. Sam Merrill. Watch Full Capacity. Go to YouTube. Check it
out. Follow him. And hey, where can people see you live? Do you have your dates at samreal.com?
When's this coming out?
This will be out not this
like
Tuesday.
Middle of the month.
Yeah.
Middle of October.
Yeah. What do you have at the end of October and November?
Oh, end of October and November. I'll be in Chicago, Denver, Phoenix, San Francisco.
Hell yeah.
Great.
A little New York, a little, that's pretty much, Dallas I think is coming up.
Nice. Are you doing Zanies in Chicago?
Shows. I'm all over it, man.
Nice. Where are you performing in Chicago?
A newer spot called the Den Theater.
Oh, yeah, I've heard the Den's great.
I hear it's cool.
Yeah, I've heard it's really
good. Can people get it at sammerill.com?
Yeah, yeah. Samuel.com/shows, or just go to samuel.com and hit the shows.
Dude,
link.
I'm looking at this guy.
Theater. I was like, I heard it's pretty cool. Like, maybe I'll film a special there next year, so I kind of want to check it out.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice. Beautiful.
All right, well, everybody go superscholars.com for their dates coming up. They got a Patreon. You can watch Cheap Seats again, and it is wonderful. It's only $5 a month. Do that. And then you've got mine as well as all the other shows that I'm doing and my tour dates coming back. Go to DanielVanKirk.com. All right.
How old is
this guy? The man with a knife and Taco Bell and a girlfriend and nothing but pain on his hands.
Yep.
Is 39 years old.
Oh, you were right.
He was kind of way to be.
To me, that's like he went out with friends, right? And they lived together, and he had one crazy night. He's like, I'm going to get Taco Bell. Babe, I'm going to get Taco Bell. I got to call Jared about the knife.
I'm going to get you some. I'm going
to
get you some.
Don't talk to him about the knife.
I'm not,
until
babe. I'm bringing it home for you. I'm bringing
Taco
Bell.
Don't look at it while you're driving. 39. She's drunk, too.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. That is the show. Love you guys so much. Thanks for checking out this show. More good stuff on the way. And oh, shit, we got to get back to work.
Dum 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 dum. Stick around, make a sound, while you're down, it's Dumb People Town.
Stop and Audio, a podcast network.